I was sitting at camp, finished the morning service, and we had some lunch and stuff like that. And then after that, gathering preparations for the thing for the evening service. And skipped supper that night, and my eyes fell on the passage I'm going to show you here this morning. And I began to think just a little bit about why it is sometimes that people choose to depart, and why people decide to get out, and why God's just not enough anymore, and whatever the excuses are. And I personally fell under really deep conviction that maybe I need to not be worried so much about why they might leave. I better be worried about whether or not I would leave. And I began to recognize and realize that if the Lord didn't keep me, it'd be real easy to get out. If it wasn't for other people supporting me, it'd be real easy to get out. Look, if you will, with me in your Bible and just give you a few thoughts this morning. And you're probably going to be a little bit surprised, and it's probably going to be hard for you to receive what I'm going to say. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The Apostle Paul preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, "This thou knowest," in verse 15, "that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he hath oft refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and he found me. The Lord grant him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Brother Larry, you pray, would you please, and let's see what the Lord will do for us this morning. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I read this passage and I began to run through in my mind how many Onesiphoruses I've had in my lifetime. And a lot of times, you know, we have a tendency to wait until somebody passes to wish we had said thank you. And this week while I was at camp, I just wrote down a few notes and I took the name of Onesiphorus and I put BBBC there. Because you as a church have been that Onesiphorus to me and have often refreshed me. Sometimes it's by your actions toward other people, your willingness to take in the stray dogs that we tend to draw, the individuals that are not really fitting what you would call the mainstream, the courage and the integrity that you have when things get difficult and things get hard, your faithfulness and the character that you have is exemplary beyond words. Your willingness to give up your seat for someone else to be seated and pay somebody's bills when you got your own bills that are due, or take somebody else's needs when your own faucet is leaking. And how many times I've been like Elijah under the juniper tree and I've come in here and had bread and water brought to me and had some warmth and some things that have been brought my way because of a good church family that has been beneficial to refreshing me to get me back up on my feet. I think a lot of times you would think by the way I preach, I seem to be somewhat negative on a regular basis, and you would think all of you are scoundrels at times, and that I sort of take for granted that you are faithful for the most part. And you do right for the most part. And you do try and you don't give up. We went through an unprecedented time last year. And during that time, many people had doubts as to whether or not the people would return. And I have to tell you, that thought didn't cross my mind. Because I never thought that when the duty would be your responsibility to answer or the call came, I didn't have any doubt that you would return. You were just waiting for the right time and get the opportunity to come back so you could get back to the business of washing feet and grabbing towels and taking care of everybody else's needs, because you meet a huge need, not just for me and for my family, but for so many people that have gathered here over 30 years. You minister to people, believe it or not, all around the world. You share your pastor for what that may or may not be worth to you to go to other places. You give me the privilege of being able to go on mission trips and to be able to fulfill what God... You're an Aaron and a Hur both to me because you allow me the privilege of fulfilling what God called me to do. You're not ever a boat anchor, you're a sail. And you allow me the privilege of being able to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You make it easy for me. I think also sometimes I don't consider the pressure maybe that comes at home because he said the house of Onesiphorus, because I recognize that with that, not only personally that comes on my wife herself, but also upon the home church, that when I'm doing what it is I'm doing, it definitely brings ridicule your way. It definitely brings individuals that are going to question certain things that get said or cut and paste things on the internet or say different things or whatever. And it brings you into vision or into focus. It puts you in the crosshair sometimes. Even with the people that I'm affiliated with, I'm reminded of the old preacher. We had people that would come here to church, and when the old preacher showed up, they wouldn't come. We had churches that didn't want anything to do with us, and pastors' associations who wanted us to be a part of their association. And then they found out we had that old preacher coming in here, and Brother Lentz coming in here, and Brother Donovan coming in here. And they were like, well, if you're going to be with those guys, we don't want to be a part of you. And yet you went on. And yet you continue on. And you continue to do what's right to do in spite of whatever the circumstances are. I know this is hard for you to take. I know that it's caught you off guard. I can tell by your silence, you're kind of like, okay, so when are we getting, yeah, but, when are we going to get that? There's no yet, but. You can relax. I'm trying to tell you as eloquently as I know how. I didn't ignore and I haven't ignored the price that you paid in order to be a follower and a soldier of Jesus Christ, and how I've benefited from having a great congregation of people to be able to preach to have the privilege of going down and preaching to your kids. I don't think there's a greater trust than for somebody to trust you with their soul, but then to trust you with their kids also. To allow you, when that soul is opened up, then there's the epitome, the pinnacle of the temple, the opportunity there for that person, that kid, to be vulnerable. For you allow me the privilege to instill some things week after week and day after day and month after month and year after year into those kids is the maximum of support that you could have. But also there's a lot of trust that's there. I think sometimes, maybe for me, I get so mission-oriented that I forget to pause and think, man, what a blessing that I got to go to youth camp this past week. And what a blessing that Brother Sam and the young bucks down there didn't put me out to pasture. And what a blessing it was that some of the young people got a little bit of a blessing out of an old man. And what a blessing that I'm still able to do a little bit for the Lord even at my age, when a lot of people would consider retirement or whatever and those kind of things. And I got to thinking, I couldn't have been here if it hadn't been for the Lord and if it hadn't been for you. If it hadn't been for your investment in what I do, if you hadn't often refreshed me, and I might say also, not ashamed of my chain. Because every message hasn't been great. And there's some messages in there that are better off in the archives. There's some messages that are in there that are better to be taken off the internet. There's some messages that are in there where some things got said and some stuff got done. And you know, it's kind of like, well, I don't know, the preacher was a little unhinged today. Maybe he's tired. Maybe he's got the flu. Maybe he's gone insane. We don't know, but we'll go ahead and cover for him. He'll recover. And given me room to make mistakes as you tolerated my growth. I've grown and I make less mistakes now, but nonetheless I still make mistakes, your graciousness, so that I don't have to walk life and spend life on a razor blade and always being worried about being snatched off the rope and stuff like that, to have the liberty to be able to preach whatever the Lord lays upon my heart and to be able to stand up and not worry that the whole congregation is going to exit and those kind of things, and live under the threat that if I don't please the people, then I'm going to wind up being out of a job. What a blessing to know if I don't please God, then the people are going to be unpleased. That's to your credit. You're a great congregation. The greatness is not just in number. Greatness is valued by what makes up that number. And the character of the people, and I looked in my mind's eye across the congregation and all up in the balcony, and I began to recognize one by one certain people doing certain things at certain times, and some of you not even knowing what was needed. A text, a phone call, an email. Sometimes it happened to be a $5 bill or a $20 bill or a gift certificate. It's not always monetary. It's the fact that there's a cooling balm that is found sometimes when you just recognize, hey, preacher, thanks, preacher. Appreciate you preaching and keep on preaching. You helped me. Seems like such a small thing. But I think everybody needs encouragement every now and then. And sometimes we want the preacher to be encouraged and the Sunday school teachers to be encouraged and the nursery workers to be encouraged and all of the people that are instrumentalists and people that are in the choir to be encouraged and those kind of things. But I need to encourage the congregation today. You've done a lot. For the world, you've done a lot. For this nation, you've done a lot. For this community, but you've done a lot for this preacher. I wish I could say I know I would be here if it wasn't for you, but I'm not that foolish. I wish I could say that I would be able to make it if I was by myself. There are times that I've been very much like Elijah under the juniper tree, or maybe I've been with certain individuals that have come in indebted and in distress and discouraged and downtrodden and those kind of things, like the people that came to the Cave of Adullam. But here's what I've seen. I've seen you take people like that and bring them into your midst and do your best to tolerate them, to put up with them, in order to give them an opportunity to grow, because I think sometimes you see yourself in them and recognize somebody had to wait for you to grow, and now you get the opportunity to be reciprocal, and that refreshes me. To let me know that it's not just something you wear on Sunday when you put on your suit and clothes. I've seen you change people's tires and fix people's cars. I've seen you pick up stuff out of the parking lot. I've seen old men get out on their hands and knees and paint speed bumps so you don't trip over them when you fall. I've seen them fix cracks in sidewalks. I've seen you fix meals. I've seen you fix air conditioning. I've seen you give up your seat. I've seen you give up your blanket. And in here, that can be a major deal. I've seen you repeatedly during the times of the Jubilee step aside so a bunch of other people can come in and the building be packed out like sardines and you take the standing position while all around you are seated. It often refreshes me. I'm doing my best to tell you thank you. I'm doing my best to tell you I appreciate it. I'm doing my best to tell you the things you've done for me aren't in a paycheck. The things you've done for me is in our service to the Lord. But seeing you do what God would have you to do, man, it has just often refreshed me. And I'm glad to know that you got my back, that every now and then when I do something that's kind of messed up or say something that's kind of out of place, and don't worry, I'm not going to quit saying queer. I'm just saying. But some of you know what you have to do every now and then. It's kind of like, we got a cover for you. I'm not ashamed of his change. That's just him. But we love him. Amen. I'm grateful that you love me like I am and not what I'm trying to be. For some of you, you've had to love me for a really long time. I'm trying to tell you how much it refreshes me to see you refresh other people. Look down in the passage again and notice also, not ashamed of the change, not ashamed of the things that we do and our testimony. Because unfortunately, sometimes when you're involved in prison ministries and in nursing homes and things like that, your ministry is not just to pretty people. I like that about you. It's not that you're not pretty people. You're all just so beautiful. But it's that you don't let what you see in the mirror affect how you minister to people that are not so pretty. And when I say pretty, I don't mean in physical attributes. I mean, I've seen you pick up the drunks and the drug addicts. I've seen you pick up the imprisoned and the divorced. I've seen you pick up people that honestly were sick and in need, not just in the hospital, but people that were sick at home and people that were sick because of problems and things like that, and not be ashamed to be affiliated with them. Not bringing your reputation, not bringing your relationship with the Lord into question at all. As a matter of fact, being just the opposite, saying, hey, we're just here to help you. I've seen you make people feel welcome who normally like wouldn't feel welcome here. They walk in here and they see all of you with a Bible under your hand and they don't have a Bible, or they bring in one of those other things. And I've seen you go, wow, maybe everything except the rainbow Bible, we're good. You might want to leave the rainbow out there, or otherwise I'm going to sit on the other side with you because you are going to be a target today. But I've seen you grow in your graciousness toward other people. I've seen you grow in the people that we picked up during the virus. I've seen that people that have come in here, they don't know the Bible, they don't understand doctrine, they don't know anything about rightly dividing, don't know about the second coming of Christ, don't know about the judgment seat of Christ, don't even know the King James thing's an issue. They walk in here and go, what is that? And I've seen you just bring it down. When I mean you could squash them like a bug. But instead, you know what you do? You're not ashamed of where they came from and what they're doing. And the fact is that, hey, you know, we found a good watering hole. And there's a drink of water here for you. I've seen you pick them up. I've seen you take them out to dinner. I've seen you do your best to try to take care of them. I'm grateful that I'm not a part of a church that only ministers to pretty people. I'm glad that you take care of the brokenhearted and the broken and bleeding people that have had troubles and problems. Not a typical Sunday morning message. And what's odd is that some of you are having a hard time accepting a compliment. You honestly think, okay, I know he is setting me up. I'm telling you for the second time, I'm not setting you up. I promise you I'm doing my best to tell you that I'm very grateful that people that come in here that have a multitude of problems, that you're willing to do something and to be patient with them as they try to learn the Bible. I'm glad you know about your eternal security, but I'm glad you take the time to tell other people that you're eternally secure. That doesn't mean that you're perfect. I'm glad that you take your time to spend time with people, whether on the phone or in person, to try to tell them what Jesus did for you. I've heard some of you just telling somebody, trying to tell them about the fact that you were going to hell and now you're getting saved, just talking about how good Jesus is. I like testimony services here. They usually start out something like this. First, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. Because if it hadn't been for the Lord, I would not be where I'm at. If it hadn't been for the Lord, and then it'll run through whatever the Lord's done for you here lately. I've seen great miracles that have happened here. We haven't won every battle. And we've lost some good soldiers. And we're going to lose more along the way. But I am so grateful that when someone has a loss, you set aside everything and you minister to those that still remain. We've had some dignitaries here. We've had some funeral services here and weddings, but mostly funeral services where the building is packed out with the visitors that we get one shot. I'm glad that you're happy to share what God's given us with other people. I'm glad you take the investment that you've made here and use it as an opportunity to see the gospel preached, and how gracious and kind each one of you are, even to some of the friends that I had from years ago. I never thought when I prayed and asked the Lord to allow me the privilege of making up for some lost ground when I was at the sheriff's office and hoping and praying that the Lord would bring a few policemen by here. I never thought I would have the policemen that we have here. And I never thought, because of tragedies in the lives of those policemen. Think about it for a minute. Lost a boy, and Monroe's gone. And the Lord fishes that pond and brings a sea of blue in here. And those guys come out of honor and respect for these guys and for Brother Monroe. And they get an opportunity that they may not get anywhere else to hear one of their own, an old guy from a long time ago, say, hey man, let me tell you, there ain't nothing like Jesus. get an opportunity to see lives that have been changed by more than just an AA program or a 12-step program, but to go, man, what in the world? Is this church? No, it's the Jesus of this church. And to see you give up parking spaces and to give up a cup of water and to show them where things are, it often refreshes me. I don't want to ever take that for granted. And I want you to know that the fact that you're not ashamed of where I've messed up, but you're not ashamed of other people's chains. I like the fact that when somebody's messed up, that doesn't wind up getting on the line. And yeah, we do have some issues here and there with people that mess up and then it gets out. But for the most part, you're good about keeping things inside the family.
Amen.
That refreshes me to know that, hey, somebody fell, but it ain't none of y'all's business. Somebody messed up and I know about it, but it ain't none of y'all's business. That's family business and we'll deal with it and they're still part of our family. I have often been refreshed by seeing your forgiving spirit. I've often been refreshed by seeing your graciousness toward people, even that have offended and upset you. There's no greater demonstration of Jesus' love than to see how when somebody comes back, you say, come on into the house. We'll be glad to feed you. And by the way, I'll help cover up with the robe and the ring. Not being compromising, not covering up things that are wicked and ungodly, but not taking advantage of their downfall in order for your uprising. That refreshes me to see the maturity that it takes for individuals that don't get down there and pass all that stuff out to everybody. Hey, this is our business. This is our church. This is more than our church. It's our family.
Yes. Amen.
I've been refreshed by the fact you call each other brother and sister. You say, well, it's just kind of a title that other people do. It's the way it's like Mr. and Mrs. Not for you. It's not. When you call somebody brother and sister, there's a meaning to it. It often refreshes me that you still continue to bring your kids to church and put them in Sunday school class. It refreshes me to see the teachers that now for over 20 years have been teaching those kids. And then to see them come through the youth class. And then to see them come into our class. And kids refresh me when they respond this week at youth camp. And they're not perfect, but boy, they sure are trying. The effort they put in was just absolutely remarkable. I mean, if they're the next generation, you're going to be in better shape than most.
Amen.
Church, you've raised a good bunch of kids. And most of you have set a really good example and give them the right things to look at for the right reasons and the right motives. And it's very refreshing to do that. Look on down in the passage right here. Notice what he says. He says in verse number 17, when I was in Rome, you sought me out very diligently and found me. And I'd like to say this, your faithfulness. You've seen many a minnow be prepared for manhood right here. You've seen many an individual that you didn't know where they were going to be. Some of them, we got them when they were babies. And they're grown up now. And they're still here. Some of them we got when they were little. And they grew up and they got married. Now they have babies and now they're here.
Amen.
Some of them came for years and years and years and then it reversed the other way. Now mom and dad are here. And some of them just continually, faithfully seek out diligently what does God want me to do, and the opportunities have abounded to take another job in another town or another city where more money and something more easy, and passing by a number of churches that crop up week in and week out and year after year, and they continue to drive past those churches and faithfully continue to come week in and week out and stay through the whole day on Sunday, come back on Sunday night, and by the time I'm already home, got on my footy pajamas and my hot cocoa in my hand, they're still driving back to the house. And there's not a night that I go home and I don't say, Lord, please watch over them and care for them.
Amen.
Driving an hour and 2 hours to come to church. I don't commend you enough for your willingness. It sounds like I'm always, wow, is that not enough for today? That's enough. That's an amazing thing. Your faithfulness. And you're seeking out after the Lord. Not here in the passage on Onesiphorus. He went into Rome there. He's looking for Paul. He had to go into all the prisons and look in all the prison cells. Nobody had a list or a roster of where everybody was. And he had to go in there and very difficultly. And the Bible said he didn't quit looking until he found me. Some of you know what? You're still looking. What does God want me to do now? What does He want me to do now? Finish that, preacher. What can I do next? Preacher, finish that. What can I do next? You remind me of the cherubim in the Old Testament that when the Lord gives them something to do, they run out and do it and they come straight back. And instead of dilly-dallying on the way back, they come back and go, what else can I do? What else can I do? I'll be willing to do anything. Can you pick up a songbook? Can you pick up a piece of trash? Sure, I don't care. Anything. Doesn't matter. I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's often refreshed me, your faithfulness, your willingness to do what the Lord would have you to do. I don't know if you know what a testimony it is, not just to other people. And not just the people that are watching. I probably should spend time sometimes telling you how many of you are known. They know your white hair. They know you're the old Coker. And that your wife sings like a canary. They know you're old school singing. They know the honeybees. They know your amen.
Yeah.
Who is that woman? I said, why do you ask? Well, we like it.
Amen.
I said, okay, that's Miss Barbara.
Yeah.
She says amen when nobody else does. And I said, yep. She said, what is she? She's about four rows from the front. Oh, on the front where that guy sits. Yeah, that guy. Who's that guy? Everybody knows TK.
Amen.
When I say Brother Waters, they're like, who is Brother Waters? It's like they ask a kid at camp. They said, okay, what is preacher's name? They're like, preacher? Preacher, preacher. Isn't that his name? He's got three names. Preacher, preacher, preacher. They're like, no, his name is Brother Peacock. Preacher. They know you. They know that if their field goal kicker is down, they say that bald-headed man with the beard, Brother Larry, how did you get him to do that? I said, I don't. The Holy Ghost hits him, but you better get out of the way when he gets ready to do it.
Amen.
They know Brother Brad. For more than just lint in the belly button. Now you're known for the many me. Brother Brad said, but we are all wanting to know, how come your hair don't move? Brother Brad was like, you know, see that and it don't move. And if Brother Brad said it, oh, it must be okay. So now, hey, do you have your mini me with you? I said, no, he's encapsulated in his own little shrine at home. And there he is. You know, the sad thing is I took the thing home. Drina said, "Did I didn't get to see the mini-me." And I said, she goes, no, I want to see it. And I said, see? She goes, no, let me see it. And she looked at it. She goes, it does look like you. And I'm riding home. You know what she does? She goes, your hair don't move. Well, at least I got a little left. So many of you, time wouldn't present or give us the occasion to say how many of you, because the camera pans. They know our principal. So we've never seen her. Could you put the camera on her? I said, no. But I said, how do you know her? Yes, Lord. I said, that's Monique. Oh, she is unique.
Yeah.
They know Deanna from sitting in the back that hollers amen. They know Roger when he sings. They watch. Brother Sam, he's so good with those kids. Now, don't be offended if I'm leaving you out. I'm simply saying to you, you're up here, other people are watching. So I go to a meeting, and it's not like, you know, it's like, oh, hey, Brother Pierre, we're glad you're here. Is TK doing all right? It's like, well, what about me?
We don't care about you. How's TK?
How's Brother Mitch and Miss Tracy? You know, when I look at them, preacher, they look like they're glued together. I said, they're Siamese twins. Leave them alone. They have their clothes special made. They're stuck together everywhere they go. I said, they often match. That's because when they get up to get dressed, it's they look in one closet because they're stuck. It makes a difference. It is so refreshing to know that you're known. And they hear you pray. And they hear you sing. And they watch you cry. And they see you hurt. And they watch how you stand strong in spite of adversity. And they watch you stay faithful in spite of troubles and trials and tribulations and distances. And they watch you when they know you're tired and when they know you're sick and when they know you're afraid. And they watch you line up like the horses do in the stable when all of a sudden the thunder rolls and they think it's time to go to battle. And they step out of those stalls and line up as if they're going. Even though they've been put out to pasture, they watch you and watch you and watch you time and time and time again. And you think, no. Nobody cares and nobody's watching. I'm telling you, they tell me, man, what a great congregation of people that really love the Lord. They watch you. An elderly woman called me. She's getting on up. She's in her mid-90s now. She found out about us through somebody else and she called and you know what she said? She said, preacher, can I talk to you for a minute? She's a southern lady. I said, well, sure enough. She said, hold on. Turn up my hearing aid. I said, I guess I'm not preaching. She goes, I don't need it when you're preaching. She said, okay, I can hear you now. She said, preacher, I can tell you love what you do. And I can tell you love your people. But she said, you know what matters more to me? I can tell your people love you. Amen. And I thought, wonder what it'd be like to pastor people that don't love you. You must love the Lord if you love me. And I haven't told you often enough. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for loving Him. And thank you for refreshing me. And thank you for helping me to continue on. Because I don't believe I'd be here if it wasn't for you and for your support. Your willingness to do right. That's manhood. That's womanhood. Constant support. Think, oh, it doesn't really matter. It's just five barley loaves and two fishes. Brother Dan sitting on the front. Single guy. Could go to some other church. Find him some scallywag of a girl. Worthless, no count. Terrible. But he doesn't come to church to find a girl. He'll come by and sometimes I'm all the way in the parking lot. And he'll come by and he'll say, Hey preacher, that was really good today. It helped me. Amen. What is that from a guy that's from up in New York? A lot. Amen. Often refreshes me. There is no other shoe today. This would be pretty neat. You go to a restaurant today and you sit down. What's your preacher preach about? He's preaching about how great we are. What? Yeah, he said we're hitting it out of the ballpark. He said we're doing good. He likes us. They'd be like, what church is that? We'd like to go there. I have nothing but accolades. But because I have been having to look death in the face here lately, I thought to myself, you know, I'd hate to die and have all y'all come by and look in the box. If that's what you do with me, whatever, it won't matter to me. I ain't going to be here. And never have said to you, thank you. And I appreciate you. And I'm doing my best not to take you for granted. And I love you, and I really do appreciate your commitment to our Savior. I don't know what's going to come, but I didn't want to wind up all of a sudden maybe laying on a hospital bed or something and going, man, I wish I'd have told him thanks before I croaked. And it wouldn't have been the same if I said, hey, to her, could you tell him thank you? I'm not planning on going anywhere. Don't worry. And I'm not coughing. I'm good. But it just made me recognize that sometimes we wait too long to just say thank you. But this isn't superficial. How do you do it? So for me, it's like this. And I'm going to close. And you're going to faint and we're going to call rescue. You know what's amazing? Is I said, I'm going to close and nobody closed their Bible. Y'all are like... Preacher, if you really want us to know that you're thankful, then stop when you say you're going to. Not a single one of y'all were like, you know... Okay, y'all are like, preacher, honest to the Lord, it never means nothing. So, here's the illustration. There were 10 lepers. And they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord healed them. And one of them, when he recognized what God had done for him, he came back to the Lord and said, thank you. And the Lord said, where are the other 9? And he didn't answer. He said, I don't know. That came to do what? Give glory to God. So I said this week at camp, I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being there in my marriage, and thank you for being there in my previous job, and thank you for then. And I kept going, and I said, and Lord, thank you for a good church. And he said, you're welcome. Now, when have you thanked them? And I was like, well, he said, there's your Sunday morning sermon. He said, take the main service and tell my people thank you for helping you, because you couldn't do what I need you to do if it wasn't for them. They support you. And they support my work. For you to be able to do what you're doing, you tell them, I said, thank you. And you tell them that you're thankful. I'm the leper this morning. And I'm coming back to you and I'm telling you, every one of you, and people that are listening, you have no idea how many people are. You have no idea how many people, they don't even come here. They will never come here. They live on the other side of the world. They send money over here for the building. How do you think we got where we are and it's paid for? It ain't coming out of all our pockets. We're doing what we can, but come on, let's face it.
Yep. Amen.
How does that happen? You got brothers and sisters that only know you on the camera. And they tune in week in and week out. You know what they say? Tell whoever keeps that thing up and running, thank you. We don't have a church. And we don't have a preacher. And we need your church. And we're a part of it. And we listen. And when we turn it on, we watch what's going on. I feel like I know the people in the church and never been here before. So I'm the leper. And I'm coming back to you today to tell you thank you. I really, honestly, sincerely recognize clearly I could not do if I'm doing anything if it wasn't for you doing what you do for me and ultimately for the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning that what we've done here, what I've done, although I feel I haven't given the proper credit the way that it should be given to these people for what they've done for me, I'd ask you, Lord, that they might understand as best and as humanly possible how grateful I am for what they've done for me and for my family, monetarily and otherwise, but in their service for you, our great King. And Lord, that they'll be encouraged by what they've heard today and that they'll keep going a little while longer as the clock ticks down and the time comes to a close, that you'll find a few here at 3857 and those that are connected to us through the internet, Lord, that you'll find a few remaining faithful and thankful for all that you've done for us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.